Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello! Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Food for Thought. This is the podcast that's on a mission and it's going to equip you with all of the evidence-based advice that you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, registered nutritionist, Sunday Times best-selling author of The Science of Nutrition. Please go check out my new book. I think it will help a lot of people out there. And founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. Now, in each of the 12 episodes, I'll be joined by guests, all of whom are experts in their field, which is wonderful. So together, we can all learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with trusted expert advice. We live in a culture with definitions of what beauty is and societal norms of shape and size. But we need to break away from this. Each of us are unique and this should be embraced. Too often pressure and expectations we find lead to unhealthy relationships with ourselves and obsessive behaviour. So this week's Food for Thought sees M. Clarkson and I discuss the implications of scrutinising both our body, mentally and physically, and how we can reframe our approach leading to a healthier relationship with our bodies. Hello, M.
Hi.
Hello. It's so lovely to speak with you. I think the last time I actually got the chance to speak with you was probably on that news feature on Sky News a long time ago.
You know, it makes me sound quite cool though, doesn't it?
It does make you sound very cool. I remember you were very excited. It was actually a very important, significant feature. But today we're talking about something similar. And I think that's on the note of body image. So how prevalent that we feel body obsession is. And I guess in this digital world that we now live in, that this is surely only going to grow to a larger scale.
Mm-hmm. I mean, terrifyingly, yes. But also this conversation I think is really important because we will talk about it, but I think something that frightens me is still how laissez-faire everybody is when it comes to social media. And I think giving space to conversations like this is really important. So I'm here for it.
Yeah, no, brilliant. I think we should start, like you said, there's a lot out there and it's concerning. There's no regulation really. And then you've got the argument, I guess, of almost like a freedom of speech. It's like freedom to post, but it's really contentious. Let's start with where does this body obsession often stem from?
I mean, it's a societal obsession. I mean, you can look before you even think about the online world that we live in, looking at the real world that we live in. I don't know about you, but my body's been a focus for as long as I can remember. Every magazine, yeah. News segment, you know, it comes up all the time. To claim that our bodies have ever been irrelevant is sadly impossible. And obviously in an image-led space, our bodies are more focused on and obsessed over than ever. And unfortunately, we care about how we look, and we always have. I think long before social media, perhaps they cared less, but they still cared. Like, you know, the Tudors had all their portraits done. Everybody's always cared about how they look. And now there's just, you know, the access that we have to I don't know, each other's bodies, everybody's bodies. We just see, you know, in the olden days, you'd probably see like 10 people a year.
Yes.
And now we just see like 10 people a minute at least, you know? So I think it's a, you know, a cultural obsession always. But to look at it, it's so heightened. And I think the exposure is what worries me. Like, and it worries me on a bigger level than just the body, because so much.
And at the same time, I don't want anybody to feel bad listening to saying, oh, well, I care about what I look like, because of course everybody wants to look okay. It's when it turns in from looking nice and feeling nice to becoming an obsession. And I think impacting your everyday life. And like Em says, I don't think it's natural to be surrounded and consuming as much of this subliminally every day as we do. It literally, it's on the TV screens when we watch TV in the evening, it's on the side of buses and advertisements if you're walking anywhere, on billboards, then it's on your phone that you're probably looking at first thing in the morning and last thing at night. So let's discuss how much it can, I guess, family life can impact it, or relationships can influence it.
I mean, yeah, with body image, even before social media, I don't think any, you know, you don't be born hating the way that you look. You don't look at your like toddler arms and be like, oh my goodness, they're so chubby. Like, because when actually we look at toddler arms, we're like, oh my God, they're so cute.
Oh, it's so cute.
They're so cute. But for some reason on adults, we're like, which is fascinating. But I think it's taught. It's all taught. And so many women of my generation, of our generation, have been impacted, unfortunately, by the unhappiness of the women in generations before us. And I don't think it's very fair to assign blame, you know, because I think a lot of people will be like, oh, well, I don't have my body because, you know, and to blame your mother or your grandmother or whatever, it's a lot. And I think what we have to do is take a step back and say, look, we've all been under the same pressure. And, you know, like our mums and however many, you know, more mums have been expected and sold cabbage soup diets and the Atkins diets and this diet and this diet and this diet, you know, for ages and ages we've been sold diets. You know, it wasn't that long ago women were expected to wear corsets to dinner, you know, like women societally, I believe, have been conditioned and are encouraged always to be smaller and to take up less space. And I think that's particularly a case for you know, women of maybe the turn of the century before, you know, like during the war, you know, their efforts still, despite the fact that they were so amazing, this has nothing to do with how they look, but you know, so many women were so amazing, but still they were expected to be small and quiet and go back to being at home and whatever, and we've just always expected to be small and pretty and quiet. And so I think, you know, it's a challenge that a lot of women and parents and people have as we grow. I don't know. I mean, I kind of mean grow literally and grow.
Well, as we raise future generations. I mean, yeah. I'm listening now as a parent myself and thinking how I'm going to teach my son to view men and women in society. There's, you know, even gender roles is up for question. And you've mentioned the point there. I mean, yes, women in particular are impacted by this. There's no denying that. But now I'm also starting to see in our clinic as well, a lot of men coming forwards. Do you think that they're also, I mean, it's on a different scale, I know that, but do you think they're also becoming more impacted by social media than the male society?
Yes. And I think this is the same thing. What I was just saying about women have been, you know, told we have to be small and dainty and delicate and pretty and whatever. Boys, by the same stroke, have to be big and manly and muscly because they have to provide for us, you know, lowly women. And so we suffer because we starve ourselves and hurt ourselves trying to be what society says we should be, small. And men, I think, are just being equally hurt by it because they're expected to be so muscly and so big and so tall. And, you know, there are men out there who aren't that tall and who aren't that muscly. And that's hard, you know, because that's not what society says they should look like either. So I think we're all being affected by this. And again, we're so exposed to, you know, perhaps boys wouldn't have minded so much before because they'd be really good at running or, you know, quite quick at football or whatever. But, you know, they're still seeing the gym bros and, you know, I don't know, whatever boys look online. you know, it's probably, you know, the same way that we have, you know, we look up to to very slim and beautiful influencers, and they're probably looking up to very hench and handsome men. So,
and like you said, it's been going on for thousands of years. If you look at the people epitomized in history, you know, if we go back to our favorite era, King Henry VIII, the always described as tall and strong and, you know, empowering when he walked
and
into a room.
And,
yeah.
And you go back way before, look at the Greek gods, you know, Achilles. Mm. He's handsome, he's ripped. Like, so it's, and actually we don't need, like, we don't need to be taught, you know, we don't have to hunt our dinner anymore. We don't have to, I don't know, slay like Trojan armies. So we don't need brats to be quite as, strong.
It raises a debate. It raises a very interesting debate, which is based on our evolutionary growth versus how society has changed, and how actually as human beings we're kind of unable to completely immerse ourselves in the society around us as it changes. It's like a nature nurture thing again, and this is actually way beyond my educational scope, but I do find evolution and adaption fascinating, and there's such a this conversation is so interesting because we're definitely seeing more of a rise in perfectionism in the clinic. And that's linked to this body image obsession. I know that's something you do a lot of talk about, well, you speak about it a lot on social media.
Yeah, and I mean, because we see, that's the other thing. I've just read the book called Beginner's Girls, and it was about these socialites in the 1920s. Like, yeah, they had mirrors, but they also had other stuff to do other than look in them. And they had one portrait. Like, that's them. That's how they're immortalized. And, well, I mean, you know, they obviously grew up into the 60s and it happened much more. But, you know, when they were young, they were painted. And that was that. And maybe there'd be one picture. So you wouldn't look at that one picture of that, you know, because it was so amazing that there was like this proof of your existence. You wouldn't look at it and hyperanalyze it and be like, oh God, this, because you'd be more like, it's me. Like, you know what I mean? Mm. It would be so much more novel. Whereas now, I mean, even for me, like I see myself all the time. I see my face more than I see like my fiance's face. Like I see my face all the time. So it's not a surprise, particularly when you bring filters into it. Let's say you're looking at your phone for however many hours a day. If you're looking at this filtered version of yourself, as so many people do, that's how you see yourself. And then when you look in the mirror, you're not gonna, you know, it's not simply comparing yourself to filtered images of other people. You're comparing yourself to filtered versions of you, and that's like horrific. Because these filters, without your permission, you know, you do any of these ones on Instagram stories, they're going to give you a smaller nose, they're going to raise your eyebrows, they're going to give you a little facelift, basically. So when you look in the mirror, you're going to look comparatively saggy or tired or spotty or, you know, whatever it is.
Lacking luster. I think there's a lot of people that we see, really sadly, and that I've had clients before that have an addiction to wearing makeup, for instance, is one, and plastic surgery. So they're two completely separate areas. But you know, we've encountered this before. We obviously just deal with the diet, but that the side of things that people experience, and I think these filtered images have a lot to answer for, like you've just said, because a lot of the time you're seeing images of people that have physically shrunk their their thighs, or, you know, I wouldn't even know how, but they change their entire face, can't they? They can lift the eyebrows themselves.
Anything like I make, and you know, actually it used to be a bit more contentious, so for a long time I have made filter videos because I want people to see how ridiculously easy it is, and how different I can make myself look. And you know, that I did get a bit of criticism when I started doing it from people saying, oh well, you know, this could be seen as a tutorial, maybe you see, you know, maybe you're inadvertently advertising it. And although, like, I hear you, I think it's so important, and it's happening more now, and more people are becoming aware of it and making these videos and trying it for themselves, not necessarily because they want to, you know, change the way they look, but just to see. And I think
that's the knowledge.
I remember a couple of years ago, I mean, showing like how the time warp that is COVID, but I remember a few years ago it was made law in France that magazines had to declare photoshopping. That hasn't come into effect here, and that's never existed on social media. And my body image, I've made no secret of the fact, has been horrific for what, you know, it isn't anymore, thankfully, but it was. My teenage years were miserable, and not to assign too much blame, but I think the magazines that showed me women that weren't real was exhausting. Mm. You know, I was comparing myself to people that simply did not exist. And on social media now, it's happening. It's not just, I don't know, Kate Moss that's looking unbelievably fantastic, but it's like the girl you sit next to in history is also the same thing that Kate Moss once, you know, was once done to Kate Moss. I'm not for a second insinuating she does it herself, but
The feedback I think people get, because I know a lot of the time, thanks to COVID as well, I kind of ditched my makeup bag for ages. I just don't have time anymore, to be honest. And I was embracing my, you know, my natural skin every day on social media. And I was getting awful remarks from some nasty people saying I look like I've aged, like I look really old and I look really tired all the time. And it's like people are so used to, like you said, seeing
yes,
perfection.
It's actually really interesting that you said that. A few months ago, I started getting so much criticism from, weirdly, men just being like, eat some vegetables, like your skin, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? Like, this is so weird. And I was talking to my friend about it and I was like, this is insane. Like, why am I getting such a hard time for my skin? And she was like, I genuinely think it's because you don't wear makeup or, you know, that often.
You've got a ring light on or something. Yeah.
Comparatively, people are so used to perfection that they see us and they're like, God, they look haggard. And it's like, no, we look human. Yeah. And makeup artists have been doing it forever, you know, on YouTube. You know, they've been showing makeup looks with perfectly airbrushed skin. So they're sort of saying to us, oh, well, this foundation is very airbrushing. And it's like, no, airbrush is very airbrushing.
I am a bit older than you still am, I will say. But there was a mousse foundation that came out ages ago.
Was it Dream About Mousse? Because I was all over that. Over it, my God. Wait, was all over me.
It was like, I remember saying to my... Did I have to ask my mum, or was I old enough to buy it myself in Boots? I think I probably bought it myself. And I remember going into town and being like, oh my God, my skin's going to look amazing now. Because I was singing back then. I was like on stage and we looked so good with my matte mousse. And it was just, it's all a con. It's all one big con.
Well, that the law has actually changed around that now, particularly on Instagram. There's an amazing girl called Sasha Pilari who did something called Filter Drop, and she basically hounded the ASA, and she won. So now you can't falsely advertise. Basically, you can't use a filter if you're selling makeup, which I think is incredibly important and really cool. And hopefully, it's the beginning of a really big change, because I think similarly, you shouldn't be allowed to face tune your waist if you're selling me a waist trainer,
exactly,
or a diet pill, or a whatever. And I know that the rules have changed around that, but people do seem to find their ways around them.
Well, it's how do you regulate so many people and of all different status, you know, online. You're talking A-list Hollywood celebrities that go online. How do you crack down on them? It's almost those sorts of conversations as so many users online. But maybe let's chat about some of the consequences. You mentioned yourself that you experienced a lot of poor body image over the years. Yeah. And what would you say is the difference that, you know, you see as a person that's experienced this between body obsession and a body dysmorphic disorder?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I mean, I think what worries me is I think we're a generation that's plagued by body image issues. And I think if you sit for too long with anybody, you could diagnose somebody because we've been so hyper-focused and because so many of us have been so unhappy. I think, obviously, body... Well, I don't know if it's obvious. I don't know where the lines are, you know, because I think so many people just live. You can live so easily being body obsessed because we're a culture that's so body obsessed. It's very easy actually to exist with entirely normalized disordered eating patterns.
Yes, in families you'll see it, won't you? When you go around generations, oh, you look thinner today or bigger today.
Have you lost weight?
Yeah.
And, you know, we do it all the time. And it's like, I shared a meme the other day and it was like, are you even a British woman if you haven't got halfway through a bag of crisps and gone, oh my God, someone take this away from me. Like, we do this all the time. Like, it's so normalised on a Sunday, be like, oh, I'm going to be so good this week. And everyone's like, oh, are you? So what do you mean good? Like, well, you're not going to like mug any grannies this week. Is that what we're saying is good? And, you know, like the way that we talk about good and bad and we attach so much with food, I've gone on a side note, but I think, you know, the way that we talk about food is so often so disordered that it's what worries me is the body obsession normalizes so many probably disorders. And to my understanding, body dysmorphia is seeing something or seeing yourself looking entirely different or perceiving yourself in a way that's entirely different to how you actually look. And I think that's something that filters and social media will worsen dramatically.
Yeah, it will contribute to it. And if you could pick out, I guess, I mean, obviously, once it becomes a disorder, psychological support is so crucial. You know, I think, like Em said, all of us probably do experience body dysmorphia to some degree because it's so ingrained in society. It's almost part of how we've been taught and raised, which is really sad. And hopefully we can make a shift with the future generations. But if anyone out there is really feeling that this is just getting you down every single day and it's stopping you from living your normal life, then please do seek out help. And actually, we should put some notes in the show notes of where to go to. But what would be your main red flags then, Em? So you've mentioned conversations, or we've mentioned, you know, family, typical classic comments. Are there any others that you would say?
I think it's actually, I mean, you use the word body obsession. I think there's more to life than what you look like. There's more to life than how much belly fat you have. There's more to life than the size of jeans that you wear. And I think if this means so much to you, that is a red flag because the world is enormous and comparatively your stomach is tiny. So your stomach shouldn't be your whole world. Do you know what I mean? I look back at my thoughts when I was at school and I was obsessed with how I looked because I was so deeply unhappy with it. And actually, I now look back at every single happy memory I've ever made and I can't picture my cellulite or my stomach rolls. I'm not remembering how much I weighed that day. I'm remembering everything else about it. And I think when it's a constant, you know, in your mind, you know, how you look and what size this is and whatever, that's it for me. It's because there's more to life and it's not about self-love straight away. It's not about ridiculous body confidence and walking naked down the street.
No, it's very rare actually people reach that point.
So it's more about neutrality, right? It's making your peace with, you can still, you know, strive for a healthier and I don't know, you want to set yourself physical challenges. You know, I'm all about that. Like, that's great. But it's for other reasons. It's for reasons bigger than what you look like, right?
Yeah, it's not your top priority every day. And it becomes, you know, it's almost accepting yourself, without all the the makeup and glam and everything else that you can chuck on top and every filter, it's important. And you've touched on exercise, actually. I really wanted to discuss exercise in this episode because, yes, it's amazing for mental health. I mean, I really notice it if I don't get out for a walk. But then you'll see there that a walk to me is classified as exercise. And I know for some people, exercise can equally become compulsive.
It can, of course. And again, I don't think social media necessarily. And again, I say this on because there's always bad sides to everything. And there's good. And if I had the time, I could tell you a million good things about social media. So I don't want to be always moaning about it.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, it's my job. So I really do like it. But I think, you know, that doesn't, you know, the workouts that we see, and, you know, we do pay so much attention to the fitness influencers that we follow. And it's like, what are you eating every day? What are you lifting? How fast is, how many calories did I burn in? And I was such a sucker for that. I bought everybody's workouts and I did everything. I did everything. I did stupid sit-ups before I went to bed and it's just ridiculous. And actually, I've now found exercise. I do so much exercise, but I do it in a way that makes me so mentally delighted. I had a really, really big shift. I was totally obsessed with exercise in the wrong ways, and it was a massive part of it was punishment for me, and I think it is for a lot of people. You know, like I'd be one of those people that just stood on a treadmill until I worked off a packet of Maltesers, and then I'd go home. And I signed up for my first marathon, and it changed everything because it stopped being about the calories and it started being about the distance, and it stopped being about my size, and it became about what I could do. And it was a really positive shift for me. But it's only as I've got to where I am now, where I'm like you, I think fresh air is exercise.
Yes, yes,
you know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God, I love air. I love endorphins. I love moving.
I got out the house today. Big achievement. Yes,
exactly. And movement for me is everything. Like I dance everywhere. I skip a lot. Like I'm just happy to be out. But that's been a real shift, because I do think social media does, and the magazines did it. How many articles have we read about how, like, we can burn your belly fat, and you know what I mean? Like,
I'm so bored now of the, so it's the time of year we're recording this is a time where I always get bombarded by journalists asking what's the most calorific meal in a day you can consume, how to cut them and how to burn it off. And it just doesn't work that way. You mentioned something I think a lot of people listening can relate to, and that is that you were on the treadmill or on the, it used to be my favorite machine, the cross trainer.
Yeah.
And I'd actually play solitaire on the cross trainer. I was never interested in the calorie counts, but it would be solitaire. I was like, oh, I could probably do this for half an hour. You know, that kind of target. Yeah. It was just not.
It's your, you're getting through. I'm a massive believer. I run an account called The Havergoes. It's The Hags. It's about getting women into sport and try. Mm. And not because you have to, not because you have to do this half an hour, not because you had a big breakfast, not because you haven't in a while, not because you've gained a dress size, but because you really, really want to, because you find it fun and exciting. And, you know, like the cross trainer, I'm going to be honest, it's not my cup of tea.
No, like, not me anymore either.
I just find it fun. I'm just like
so
standing
boring.
The whole bit of, like, what am I looking at? A car park. It sucks. Whereas with my marathons, I'm not doing any at the moment, but I was out. I go to the park, like look at the dogs, you know, I go to dance classes. Like,
but you're probably thinking about your joints and your bones as well. I know that sounds strange, but once you get to that level where when you're exercising, you think about, wow, you know, I can really feel my knees today. I really need to start looking after them, or I need to have a think about what my body is capable of and how much pressure I can put on it. You start to have a different appreciation, I think, of what it can do. Like you said,
Once you allow your body and I know a lot of people say this after they've had, and I haven't had a baby, but I know a lot of people come to this body neutrality, or at least, you know, some modicum of love after they've had a baby very often, because they say, well, this, look what this body did for me, look what this body gave me. And I don't have a kid, although I can appreciate that the female body is like a wonder.
Insane.
Terrifyingly awesome.
Yeah.
But for me, with I do a bit of weight training, and I think that's so cool. Like before, yeah. I used to just like be like, "Oh my god, my legs are so fat." They're like, "Oh," and now I'm like, "Oh my god, look at the cool stuff my legs can do!" Like I get so gasped when they just go far, and I can just like run all this, and I can pick stuff up. I'm like, "God, this is cool." Whereas before, I would look at it and be like, "Oh, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong." And now I can be like, "Well, this is right, and that's cool, and that's going well," and it just gives you an appreciation for like what you can do rather than what you don't look like.
I love that, what you can do. And on a gender front there, when I was a teen, you know, it was all about the boys going to the gym and girls just didn't. You just didn't do it. It
because
was.
You have to be small and dainty and delicate. Yeah. They had to open the jam jars with their big man muscles. And now I'm like, no, stand aside. I've got it. I want to open.
I can open the jar.
Literally, I love seeing women, like strong women. I'm like, God, that's cool. And that's what I, and actually I had a massive operation on my face. I had my jaw broken and I had to, the week before I ran it, I did an ultra marathon and then I had my surgery and then I had to sit on my bum basically for like 4 months. And I went back to the gym and I was as weak as I've ever been. And it was I had a real challenge with my mind, like getting my thoughts right around it, because I was feeling so like intimidated, you know. I think gym intimidation is a real thing, and I had to like sit with my thoughts, and rather than look around and be intimidated by all the people around me, I had to look at them and be like, no, they were all here once, like we've all been beginners, and I've choose to be inspired by them rather than intimidated.
I like that outlook. That's hard for people. And I will say equally, sometimes the judgment factor comes from what we are programmed to think. So I think women can equally be very cruel to other women. And then you suddenly have to stop yourself and think, oh, hang on a minute. This isn't me talking here. This is what I've been told to think in society.
Yeah. And I think, you know, okay, so maybe someone is judging you, right? You know, maybe someone is looking at you, and they're not listening to it. And I just think, okay, well, what a sad use of your time. Why are you looking at me? Look at yourself. You know, look at what you're doing. And I think, you know, when it comes to the gym and trying hard, it's for us. It's not for them. It's not so other people in the class, I don't know, like us or whatever. It's a weird, you know, I think we could all do with really staying in our own lanes there and focusing on our own stuff. And what, you can never compare yourself. You don't know, you know, we don't know what anybody's going through on any given day. So, you know, even, I don't know, everything affects us. Are you tired? Are you on your period? You know, it could be anything. Maybe I'm a beginner. Who knows?
No, so. Exactly. That's exactly it. And I think we've got time for one more question for me. And I think that would be, I really wanted to talk to you about the language that brands use in individuals, I guess, and the imagery, because I know that being in a clinic, you know, a lot of the associations maybe 10, 15 years ago would be pictures of transformation pictures sometimes. And I've got to say the fitness industry is diabolically bad for this and still is. You see it on gym walls plastered everywhere, really toxic phrases. I was wondering when we'll start seeing a change, or have you seen any?
I see it in some spaces. I mean, like I say, I run this page called The Hags, which I love, and we do real life events and stuff, and we're strict no body talk there. You know, not no body talk, but just none. It's like the, I don't know, sweats my fat crying, and like no carbs before marbs all of that. I'm like, oh, thanks. I'm gonna swear, but. Left to finish that thought. But you know, it just puts the focus on all the wrong things. It's very intimidating. It's very all or nothing. It's very like, I don't know, winter miles, summer smiles, and like it's so high pressured. I'm just I'll come have a go.
I'll never forget training, as because I'm a level 3 PT. I mean, you wouldn't know it because I will say it's a bit of a joke. It was 6 weekends long to train to get to that status. And it seemed intense at the time. It's really not. It should be a lot longer, in my opinion. But what was so interesting was that the guy that was teaching the course was like, I'm on a water fast this week. And, you know, I tell all my clients, you know, if they've had a boozy weekend, just to cut the calories the next day. And he was talking as if he was a qualified dietitian, nutritionist. You know, it was absolutely just mind blowing. And it just left me with very little respect for for that industry.
It's on very tightly to, because we know so little about it, we're not educated on, you know what, we're not educated on any benefits of any exercise. Mm. We don't know anything about nutrition. We leave school totally inept to look after our own bodies. You know, we don't know what's good for them and what's healthy for them and what makes them happy. And so we panic. And when we see somebody who we perceive to be an expert, and because we're in such a body image focused society, we see somebody that looks amazing and we're like, oh my God, everything they do, I will do.
Yes.
And that's what's dangerous, because these people, and with social media, because they are in, because they're beautiful, they're followed a lot and they're held in quite high regard. So when they say, oh guys, I just don't eat, everyone's like, oh my God, okay, I won't do that either. And then, you know, we all get hungry and then that leads to binging cycles and we all know it because we've all experienced it, because we live in a crazy world and we have been unified, I think, by crazy diet culture, like, and the weird stuff it's made us do.
Yeah. And that leads me onto questions from our listeners. I'm just trying to pick out the right ones here. They're quite personal, actually, these ones today. I think when we put up the subject of body image, you know, that it all comes pouring out. And this one, I think you'll relate to, or you'll have probably come across and you've discussed before. So Louisa has said, I have lost weight, but my mental health has got so much worse. I don't understand why this has happened to me.
That makes me really sad. But I think we have this crazy view in this society that thinner equals better.
Yeah.
And thinner equals happier. And I don't think any change born of self-hate can end in anything positive. I just don't think the maths adds up. And for me, I look back at when I, in 2016, I look back at myself and I was so much thinner, and I look at that and it was the unhappiest time. I was so unhappy, and it took so long for me to unpick that and work out that just because I was thinner, it didn't mean I'd be happy. And I was so sure that being thinner would answer all my problems. I was so sure that that was it. Once I was thin, boys would like me. Once I was thin, I'd be really smart. Once I was thin, I'd be successful. Once I was thin, and then you get thin and you don't even feel that thin, because someone will be thinner than you and someone's going to sell you this and someone's going to say, and have you thought about this pore and this arm fat? And, you know, this is it. Like, this is, we live in a society that profits from our insecurities. It's in everybody's best interest that we remain insecure, because that's how they make money from us. Yeah. So that's, I've gone like deep there. Sorry, Louisa, but I think like, if your body and your mental health are different things, and if what you're doing to your body isn't serving your mental health, then try serving your mental health first, and don't worry too much about that, how that affects your body in the interim. That would be my.
That's really lovely. Yeah, thank you. That's kind of answered Mila's question as well, which is, you know, not how do you not put the pressure on? But we've got another one here from Erin. And she said, I've realized over a long time, social media has changed the way that I see myself. How can I prevent this happening to my younger sister and not being body image obsessed?
I think talk about other stuff that isn't just your body. Like, yeah. We talk so much, you know, diversify your feed, follow people that just care about more stuff, you know, follow dog accounts, follow, I don't know, the lovely guy Francis who just likes trains, you know, follow other people that isn't, you know what I mean? Like, if you're only following Love Islanders, if you're only following fitness accounts, if you're only following people to whom you view them as only a body, then that's how you'll see them. You know, you won't see them for anything more. If you see people that are posting other things, like, more, find people that look like you or look like her, or talk to her about it and say, look, this has really affected me over the last few years. I've noticed it's affected social. Is it having that on you? Shall we try and diversify our feeds together? Shall we, you know, talk about this? Or and then once you've had that conversation, I'm always very aware with my younger sister and with the younger people that I hang out with, never to say things like, oh, I'm going to be so good this week. Yeah. Oh, putting so naughty, you know, it's words like that that we could just really do without in our general conversations.
Thanks. No, 100%. And we're going to move on to a fact or fiction round in a second. I just think that what you've just said is so, so valuable. It's It's almost finding a new tribe, finding more like-minded, you know, the space. We don't stay the same every year of our life. We evolve and grow, and sometimes friendship circles also need to have a little tweak. And it's just all sorts of things, I think, that we surround ourselves with. But I just think that it's a bit overwhelming when you think about, oh, how to speak to other people about it. But we are going to do our fact or fiction round now. Are you ready? Question one, everybody needs to weigh themselves.
Fiction.
Buying new clothes will help you feel confident.
Well, I mean, fiction, but also if you feel your oats in something, then that's great, but fiction. It won't, okay. No, I'm so bad with one answers.
No, it's fine. Go for it. Environment affects the body image.
Fact.
Low body fat percentages are a sign of health.
Fiction.
Social media can negatively impact our body image.
Fact, but it doesn't have to.
Yes, exactly. Change your feed. Body obsession stems from childhood.
You know, I don't know about the science of this. I'd say probably fact, but you'll know more about that than me.
Oh, no, I think you're probably right there. Exercising multiple times a day is healthy.
Fiction, it's exhausting.
I don't know how people do that. Language doesn't affect how someone feels about their body.
Fiction.
Body dysmorphic disorder is treatable.
Fact.
Diet is the easiest way to control your body fat.
I mean, scientifically, probably fact.
Yeah, that was our fact or fiction round.
I did okay.
You did great, Em. I thought you did really, really well. And it's hard to say like one answer, isn't it? There's often things to expand on. But sadly, I mean, I feel like I could have chatted to you forever, but we have to wrap up the episode, and we always finish with our food for thought. And I think after what we've spoken about today, mine would definitely be the comparison factor and the judgment factor as well. I know we're talking about body obsession, but from my line of work with relationships with food and seeing how, you know, these what I eat in a day accounts and these toxic kind of, which comes from a place not of toxicity, actually, because a lot of the time people that put out this content don't realize the impact that it, well, I hope they don't realize the impact it can have on other people. And no one is smarter than you when it comes to your own body. And I really liked what Em said today. I really loved the fact that, you know, it has been around for donkey's years, the fact that we do look at appearance. And, you know, we've got to think about people that don't identify even being male or female. We put these labels on people, and we've got a lot to learn in society and a lot to change and a lot to grow from. And fundamentally, we just need to diversify what we consume if we are consuming this much. What would be your take-home message today?
I think all of what you just said, to surmise on that, I just think sometimes it's not that deep, and it feels that deep, you know, it feels so insanely deep. But when I think about how I exist and how I've always existed, when I think about what I'm loved for and what I love about other people, it's not how many inches round my waist, you know what I mean? It's not how much I weigh. It's how big my heart is and how well I listen and how much fun I can have with the people that I love. And I think there's so much, it's so easy to be so affected by so many people because we're so exposed to so many people, like I said earlier. But we have so much more power than we realize over our own thoughts, and celebrating ourselves and holding ourselves in as much regard as we even, you know, people that we don't know on Instagram, we look at them, we think, oh my God, they're amazing. And that is the very last thing we often think about ourselves. And that makes me so upset. So I think, you know, the way that we speak about other people on social media is the way that we have to speak about ourselves. You know, we want to celebrate that person. That's okay. But celebrate us too. You know, we don't always have to compare ourselves because it isn't always them and us. We're not always competing. Society gets way too, you know, used to making women compete against one another, and it doesn't have to be like that. Good for her, but good for me too, you know, like we can all stay in our lanes and just live with our big hearts and kind of let the like, you know, competition and the comparison all go a bit, because it ain't that deep. That's what I'd
no.
say.
Beautifully spoken. And let's big ourselves up a little bit more. Where can everybody go who's enjoyed this episode to find out a bit more about what you do?
Well, you can find me on Instagram. My handle is EM_Clarkson. But if the exercise thing is something that you, I don't know, maybe if you ever wanted to come and hang out with my hags, the Havergos, we are a very inclusive exercise space. We have done a triathlon together. We have done a 10K together. And it's not about PBs or speed or size. It's about showing up and having fun and supporting each other. We never leave a hag behind. So if you've been nervous to try an event, we'd love it if you came and did something with us. So we're just the Havergos on Instagram, if you ever want to come and do some fun exercise that's much more about how badass your body is, not how bad your body looks, basically.
I wish I could go. I think that sounds absolutely amazing.
You totally can. What do you want to do? We can sign you up.
If once my childcare balance and work-life balance is sorted, then that will be on my list of things.
We're ready.
Thanks so much. And to everyone listening, a little reminder that my new book, The Science of Nutrition, is out now. And that's also going to help you with any of your dietary questions. Now, Em, thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought. If you've all enjoyed Food for Thought, you're going to love what's coming up. We've got so many amazing episodes. So if you're not already, make sure you subscribe, because that way it will just pop up and tell you it's ready for you to listen to every single Monday. And it would be brilliant if you have time to leave a review. I know now and understand that these reviews of how you feel the podcast goes, or if you learn anything from it, can help other people reach it, and hopefully they'll be able to take a lot away from it too. So for more information about my best-selling book, The Science of Nutrition, please do let me know if you've got your copy. The Retrition Clinic, if you want to book in and get some advice, healthy recipes, and so much more, please go and visit retrition.com. And you can follow me at Retrition on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.